Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, December 22nd. Coming up today, the pub landlord who painted over CCTV cameras around his business. A second centre to help women on parole opens in Kent. And we'll have a wrap-up of the Jills match against Fleetwood Town. But first, taking a look at our top story today. An Ashford woman has described how she was left lying on a floor in hospital with severe stomach pains. Juliet Carroll was taken by ambulance to the accident and emergency department of the William Harvey earlier this month. She's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
They took me in and I was treated appallingly. I was left on the floor in A&E. I was chucked off of bed. I was treated terrible and I never got any help. I didn't even see a doctor for about 6-7 hours before I actually saw a doctor. When I eventually did see someone, I still didn't get really any pain relief or anything else for a good more few hours.
Didn't anybody sort of come over and ask if you're okay because you're lying on the floor?
No, not one person. The staff walked past me. I had offer of a drink from a patient. A patient who's sitting in A&E. And yeah, I had no, there was no dignity, there was no care, there was no love, no nothing. It was just, I'll just ignore her, walk past her. I was in agony.
How did you feel about that? I mean, it's a silly question, but how did you feel about that? I mean, you must have been very angry, upset and shocked.
To be fair, I was in that much pain. I was almost delusional. And in the end, I was just on a floor somewhere. Didn't really realise I was in A&E.
You were saying that you actually put yourself on the floor because you couldn't cope with sitting in a wheelchair. The pain was too much.
Yeah, I couldn't. I couldn't stand being in a wheelchair. There was nowhere I could lay down. I couldn't stand up, so I got something on my leg, so I couldn't stand up. Eventually, when in A&E, there's an emergency bed in the corner. So I managed to get myself up there for about 5 minutes, and then two guys come over to me and made me get off the bed. And then I was back on the floor again, and I had sick bowl full to the rim, and they wouldn't even change them. They didn't even offer. I felt really angry because, one, I've paid towards my national insurance all my life, you know, and there was no help. There was nothing. There was not a care, not anything. Members of the staff in the corners talking amongst themselves. For a patient to offer me help, not a member of staff, when there was quite a lot about, it's broken.
You mentioned that you the sights you saw in the hospital. What did you see? That it was overcrowded?
Yeah, I do remember being wheeled down a corridor, but I was doubled over in pain and I saw bed and then I saw wheelchair and this was all in corridors. It was completely, it would have been open in the daytime, that part. It wasn't part of the emergency, it was just a corridor. And yeah, there was hundreds of people.
Figures show less than 58% of A&E patients at the hospital and the QEQM in Margate are seen within 4 hours. The NHS target is 78%. Juliet is continuing to recover at home after being diagnosed and given medication.
Kent Online News.
A motorcyclist and passenger have been killed in a crash near Tunbridge Wells. The bike they were riding collided with a car and then head-on with a van on the A228 Pembrey Northern Bypass on Saturday evening. A man and woman, both in their 30s, died at the scene. Investigators are urging anyone who was in the area to check their dash cam footage. A man in his 80s has been seriously injured after being hit by a van in Larkfield. Emergency crews were called to Leybourne Way at the junction with Gidkill Road yesterday morning. The pedestrian was taken to hospital. Investigations are ongoing. A Gillingham man who was banned from contacting his ex-girlfriend has avoided prison after breaching a restraining order. It was imposed on George Weller after the court heard he'd subjected his victim to a campaign of harassment once their 8-year relationship ended. The 29-year-old from Arden Street had tried to contact her on social media. GPS monitoring also showed he'd been in her town. He's been issued a 24-month community order. The Chief Constable of Kent Police has said an officer who sexually harassed colleagues would have been sacked if he hadn't already resigned. A misconduct panel was told PC Louis Russon, who was based in Medway, made several comments about female officers. He joined the force in October 2019 but handed in his notice in April. The hearing was told he claimed the allegations were part of a conspiracy and he didn't recall the comments. Now, a landlord who painted over CCTV cameras near his pub in Dover has been ordered to pay £12,000. Footage at Kent Online shows the moment Paul McMullen used a roller to daub paint on the lenses near the Castle Inn Hostel in July last year. The 55-year-old from Russell Street said he was doing it to protect his guests' privacy. Paul McMullen spoke to reporter Sean Axtell outside court.
I had a chance to put a line in the sand to protect the privacy of people within their own homes. They chose not to. They didn't understand it. They found me guilty of trying to protect the privacy of my tenants.
And now you're facing a pretty hefty fine, over 10k. What is it, 12,000-ish?
Yeah, the fine was 12,000.
And how is that going to affect your quality of life now? And not only that, but the fact that you do have a conviction.
Yeah, the fact of having a conviction may put paid to running a pub, but 12 grand is not a significant amount. I mean, the pub's on sale for £500,000. It's not, doesn't really matter.
And the judge himself said that you need to take a good look, long look in the mirror, I think was his words, before you left, and look at your own behaviour. What would you say in response to that?
I'm just so disappointed about the jury. I mean, well, I told them 60 councils in Britain have hired drone operators to fly drones over their rooftops into their back gardens. You have a chance to say no, stop. This is about privacy of your own home. It's like, whoa.
Kent Online News.
After a weekend of delays at Dover, there could be more disruption on Kent's roads today. A technical issue caused queues at the port as thousands of people began their Christmas getaway. It's feared commuter traffic could combine with festive journeys to cause traffic today. Resident doctors in Kent have returned to work this morning after 5 days of strike action. They walked out in an ongoing row with the government over pay and job conditions. Health Secretary Wes Streeting says the NHS has coped, but the recovery phase could be challenging. A faulty charger has caused a fire at a house in Folkestone. Crews were called to tackle the blaze on Peter Street yesterday afternoon. There were no reports of any injuries. Elsewhere, three people have been treated by paramedics following a car fire near Sittingbourne. Emergency crews were called to the A249 at Stockbury yesterday evening. It's unclear what caused the blaze.
Kent Online News.
A women's charity helping people released from prison to break the cycle of offending has opened a new centre in Kent. Advance is set up at the Maidstone Community Support Centre. They offer support with finding accommodation, employment and health services for women on probation. Nadia Hughes is the head of criminal justice for the charity. She and I were able to sit down for a chat.
We've been very excited about it because it means that we're able to actually provide provisions for women in other parts of the county. So we are situated quite centrally, which is really good for commuting and for women to actually get to the space. And what we do is we provide emotional support to women who are on probation or coming out of prison. But we also provide practical support for those women as well to really kind of enhance their reintegration back into society and really ensure that they do work with probation in terms of compliance and completing their orders and their conditions.
And when you say practical support, what sorts of services mm-hmm. are on offer?
Yeah, so we support women with housing queries. Often, particularly, we see women that are being released from custody. If they're not in particular types of accommodation, often women are left pretty much on their own in terms of trying to navigate the housing world. So we will provide support to them in terms of form filling, housing requirements, attending appointments with those women. But also what we see is a lot of women coming out with severe mental health as well. Often women that have been through cycles of reoffending suffer with poor health or substance misuse. So we will often support those women in terms of linking them in with the drug and alcohol agencies locally, or even just speaking to them about what they're experiencing and helping them to navigate what's best for them in terms of care as well. So we do quite a lot of kind of groundwork, really, for women that are trying to reintegrate. Oh, and also the other one is employment. That's huge. So we will support women in terms of finding employment, looking at courses. We work with partners that specialise in these areas as well, which is really helpful for the women to kind of move forward in their lives.
I suppose are these services all set up to help women that are on probation really address the main challenges that they face as they're released from prison and trying to reintegrate, I suppose, into society?
Absolutely. And it's about rehabilitation as well. So often what we find is women have criminogenic needs. There are different reasons why women in particular are coming into contact with criminal justice. And often this is linked to mental health or coercive and controlling relationships, and being in cycles that are really harmful to them. So providing spaces like the Women's Centre allows women to come into spaces that are non-judgmental, where women can really open up. We are an organisation that's for women by women, so we only employ women. And so the space is there for women to really speak on their experiences and then gain guidance. We kind of work alongside the women to kind of help them on their path to rehabilitation and making some real changes that mean something to them.
And how important is that? I mean, to having a women-only service, because I imagine the challenges faced by women are going to be different to those faced by men. How important is it that they're surrounded by people that understand their circumstances and can offer, I suppose, women-only support?
Yeah, it is very important. You know, often we hear that actually the people feel like there isn't much of a difference. The support is support, right? But actually, if we're asking women to be open and we're really trying to really kind of take a stance in terms of women making real changes to their lives and intercepting that cycle of offending, we've first of all got to make women feel comfortable and establish trust. And often what we hear from the cohorts of women that we work with and what research tells us is actually women are far more comfortable in spaces where other women are occupying as a gender specific space. As I mentioned, a lot of the women that we work with have had experiences of domestic abuse within heterosexual relationships. And so sometimes being around men, particularly when trying to integrate or looking at rehabilitation, can be quite triggering for a lot of women. Sometimes women don't feel like they can open up as openly, as honestly, in spaces where there are men. And sometimes they feel that actually the support is quite authoritarian, right? So being in probation offices, for example, is quite an authoritarian space. And there is absolutely a place for that when we're looking at risk management. But when we're looking at engagement and we're looking at actual real change for women, being in a safe space, being in a trauma-informed space where they are working with women and where they feel safe is where we get to hear the truth of the experience, and that allows the real work to happen.
The Advanced Branch in Canterbury has been running for 4 years. A closure order on a property in Gravesend has been extended for another 3 months. The address in York Road has been linked to persistent antisocial behaviour and crime and was initially secured in September. The extension will allow the council to take formal possession of the property. It's been revealed Kent Police spent almost £1 million looking after animals seized under the Dangerous Dogs Act in just 1 year. 329 dogs were seized in 2024, with kennelling costs and vet fees totalling more than $999,000. Since the law's introduction in November 2023, it's been illegal to own an XL bully unless you have a valid certificate of exemption.
Kent Online News.
Dozens of people have been fined for parking on double yellow lines outside a pharmacy in Sittingbourne, despite previously doing it without any issues. Blue badge holders who are allowed to leave vehicles on double yellows on public roads for a limited time are among those who've received penalty notices. The tickets have come from a management company in charge of an apartment block next to Campsons on London Road. An investigation is underway, but the local council's confirmed the road isn't a public highway. Plans to redevelop an abandoned leisure centre in Deal are in doubt amid concerns over affordable housing. The scheme to turn the former Royal Leisure Centre in King Street into shops and flats is still waiting on approval from council. It's now been suggested the developers can't afford to supply the required 30% affordable housing, meaning the project can't go ahead. £30,000 is going to be spent on replacing a footbridge in Sandwich after it was deemed structurally unsafe. The structure between Knight Rider Street and St George's Lees was inspected earlier this year and cordoned off. Work's already been taking place to remove the old bridge and install new foundations. A campaign's underway to raise £10,000 to convert rundown storage sheds in Deal into a community hub. Volunteers at the Maritime and Local History Museum in the town hope the space could be used for events and creative projects. They're hoping to raise the cash by next spring. And a specialist drone has been used to help plan and design upgrades to a wastewater treatment works in Herne Bay. Survey footage was turned into a 3D model, allowing bosses to see the site from different angles. New equipment's been installed to improve the quality of the treated water going back into the environment.
Kent Online Sport.
Football now, and Gillingham are sitting 12th in the League Two table after a 2-1 loss away at Fleetwood Town over the weekend. Bradley Dack gave the Gills the lead in the 14th minute before two second-half goals sealed the win for the home side. Manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to the club's media team after the match.
Well, Gareth finishes 2-1 here against Fleetwood at Highbury. Firstly, just give us the assessment of the performance.
Yeah, again, the conditions have played a part, but we've got to defend better second half. We lost too many battles in the second half. We're just thin on the ground, you know, with numbers and bodies, and are just trying to get some secure balls up top to be held up and stick, and really they weren't doing. They were coming straight back at us, the type that Josh and Volksy would probably thrive off. But yeah, we had enough chances in the first half to go one or two or three up. But if you miss your chances, you're always prone to getting punished, and Fleetwood's punished the second half. You know, they were quite relentless in what they were doing. And free header in our box again, you know, unacceptable. And then at the end there, they've scored from like a couple of yards out. You know, it's been a tough couple of halves. You know, the last two games, the last two halves. But we gotta you know, realise we're in a pretty tough place. Get out of it, and we got two home games and must win home games, and I want to try and be competitive in both, to win both games. You know, 6 points would make a huge difference to where we are. But yeah, that's a tough one to take today.
Yeah, it was doubly frustrating because we were so good first half, seemed to be in control of the game.
Yeah, you know, we haven't had a penalty, I don't know, because Sam Gale's been punched in the face by the keeper. You know, he's won the header and been punched in the face, so you know, heaven knows why we haven't had a penalty for that. The referee saw it a different way, and again, that probably puts the game a little bit further from their grip, you know. But you know, fair play Fleetwood, you know, they come back, they've used the conditions, they obviously know this place well, and yeah, they've took advantage of some sloppy defending. Really, there's a couple of mistakes in the goals that just not acceptable, but we weren't threatening enough second half, you know. And I know it's been the story for few years, so I'm trying, I'm working hard. We've got the window just around the corner. We need to get somebody who's going to score some goals for us, because at the moment we're relying on Bradley, really, and you know, he's getting up to fit, you know, the fittest he's been for years now, but he probably was looked upon as not the talisman at the start of the season, but he's doing fantastically well. We need some help to get some goals, really, and that's what I'll be looking at.
And we can also hear now from midfielder Armani Little.
1-0 up. Sadly, we lose the game 2-1 here at Highbury. What's the overriding emotion in the dressing room after that?
Yeah, obviously it's a loss. It's not a good place in that changing room. No one likes losing, but again, we have to. It was like similar to last week. We have to take our chances when we're on top. I think the first half we played pretty well, but we need more goals. So we'll be working on that in training, and hopefully it will come in games to come.
Is that what is doubly frustrating, the fact that it's kind of the same as Barrett? We were in control first half, seemingly in control of the tie. In the second half, it was kind of chalk and cheese.
Yeah, I think so. I think in any game of football, you're going to have spells where you're under pressure. So you have to. We need to be better at riding things out and trying to take their momentum out of the game and working on things like that.
Of course, this game in isolation, now a defeat at Fleetwood, you kind of just get over it and move on. But of course, the sequence of not winning games and drawing, you've got to get back on the horse fairly quickly.
Yeah, we do, and we've got a busy period over the Christmas. So there's a few games now. We've got two home games back to back, so they're must wins now. So we have to take the game to the two teams that we're playing, and you know how tight this league is, and a few wins will get you right back in the mix again.
Is the key now to use this kind of frustration, disappointment, and use that now and channel it into motivation ahead of Cambridge and Colchester, our last games of the calendar year?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've shown that for the first half, from last week, that bit of fire in our belly in the first half. But I thought we played well. But then there's just silly things we need to cut out in the second half, and I think we actually reacted all right after their first goal, and we had a chance at that end. But we've got to be better from the set players defending.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.